Certainly thankful again to be here with you this morning. And if you'd like to turn with me, we'll be in Malachi chapter 3. Want to go to the last book of the Old Testament. And you can go to the end of the Old Testament and back up one chapter and you'll be in Malachi chapter 3. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say one of the hallmarks of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all ages has been its steadfastness and its consistency in spite of whatever is going on around them in their world. You know, it's incredible to think about. You look at the early history of the church and it was wrought with turmoil and strife and division and trials and troubles. And we read it from the pages of God's Word. You have God's people that were steadfast and trusting in God in spite of the great persecution that came in the early church. And then you can look at history after what we have recorded in God's Word, and the persecution seemed to intensify, but God's people remained faithful to them. And that's been the story of history up until this time, that there's been turmoil, difficulties, trials, division, and strife, and all of that comes as a result of living in a sin-cursed earth. But I'm thankful that we have recorded in God's Word, and we have recorded even in history, that God's people didn't wait for everything to be just right to serve Him. God's people didn't wait till there was some sort of utopia in their land or in their world before they decided to follow after Him. They served God in spite of the difficulties that were going on in their world. Now, there's several reasons that we can look to, and certainly we realize that this world is not our home, as Brother David stated earlier. But one of the strong reasons as to why God's people throughout the ages have strived to be faithful unto Him in spite of the circumstances of their life is that we serve a God that does not change. And I want us to look at Malachi chapter 3 this morning, and I want us to look at the unchanging God that we serve. Because I believe when we have a right view of God and you know, to use the big theological term, His immutability, that He does not change, that He's consistent, I believe that we can have peace and comfort and be strengthened to go in the uncertain times that we live in today. So in Malachi chapter 3, we'll start reading at verse 1 and we'll read down to verse 6. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Verse 2 says, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." Then notice verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." My friends, I'm thankful that I come before you this morning with the wonderful truth and the wonderful blessing of coming in the strength of an unchanging God. You know, everything around us is changing. It seems like that every day something's changing on a worldwide scale, on a national scale, in our communities, in our homes, in our families. There seems to be so much change. And I'm discovering the older I get, the less I like change. But the reality of life is there's always going to be change. There's always going to be turmoil. We might have relief in this area, but something will spring up in that area. And so it has been throughout the annals of history. Ever since sin came into the world, there's been change. There's been inconsistencies. But here we have in God's Word, these were going to be the final words spoken to God's people for some 400 years. And the reminder to God's people was, I am the Lord and I change not. Now this is interesting when you think about the context in which Malachi was inspired by God to speak to God's people. He was speaking to an inconsistent, disobedient people. And that's incredible to think about. This was the nation of Israel. This was God's people. This was the nation that God had blessed to come up from Egypt. This was the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And at this point in their history, after everything that had happened, they were still turning away from God and disobeying Him. And such it is with the history of Israel. God blessed them. God blessed the kingdom to grow and to expand under King David. And during the time of King Solomon, early in his reign, God blessed. And it was an incredible time. They amassed great wealth. Their boundaries expanded. The Lord blessed them. And very quickly after that, we see that the kingdom splits because of the inconsistency of men. The inconsistency was that they turned away from the God that had blessed them. And you look at the history of the kings of Israel and Judah, the kingdom split, and you would have times where there would be kings that were faithful unto God, but more often than not, you would have recorded in Scripture the unfaithfulness of men, the inconsistency of men. And it got to the point where God judged them, and they were carried away into captivity. The northern tribes were carried away, and the Assyrians came in and invaded the land. God used a wicked nation to judge them. And you would think after that, well, the tribes of Judah would get the message, but they didn't. And God carried them away allowed them to be carried away into captivity by the hands of the Babylonians. And they were gone for some 70 years. The book of Malachi is written after all of this. God in His mercy blessed a remnant to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. And you would like to think at that point, well, now they're really going to consistently and zealously serve God. And they did for a while, but then they were inconsistent again. And the book of Malachi is written as a judgment upon God's people because they had turned away from Him from the most part again. The priests were wicked priests during the time of Malachi. They were taking advantage of the people. They had turned back to the gods of the peoples around them that was the reason God judged them to start with and carried them away into captivity. They were oppressing people. You think about oppression today, it's not new. They were oppressing the weak of their society. They were taking advantage of those that labored for them. They were taking advantage and not taking care of the widows and the fatherless. And they were not being mindful of the strangers of the land, going completely against what God had commanded them. And the book of Malachi talks over and over again about the inconsistencies of the people. But here's the great blessings that we enjoy as God's people. In the midst of inconsistencies in our world, in our society, our Lord changes not. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Our Lord isn't inconsistent. And here in the midst of all of the inconsistencies and all of the wavering and the disobedience of God's people and them turning away from Him in spite of His mercies, in spite of His grace, it says here, God is consistent. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? That should be a wonderful reminder for us as God's people. You know, in the natural sense, we desire consistency. You look at it, all the research and child development and what it takes for a child to be able to become well-adjusted and be able to become a child that exhibits proper traits and good behavior. All of the experts say it takes consistency for that to happen. But not only children desire consistency, all of us in our nature desire consistency. But you know what we struggle with the most in our lives? Consistency. And that's what we see in our world today. We'll have seasons where things seem to be going great, and then seasons where things seem to just be spinning out of control. Malachi, by the inspiration of God, speaks of God here as being the one that changes not. And here's the wonderful blessing. In spite of all the chaos that was going on in the time of Malachi, it says this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." We have all of the misdeeds of the sons of Jacob referenced here, and we have much of the Old Testament that speaks of their disobedience and their sinfulness and their turning away from God. But he says here, "I change not." And he says, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." My friends, the wonderful blessing that we enjoy in 2020 is, in spite of our disobedience, in spite of the wickedness that's all around us that just seems to intensify daily, God is still on His throne. He's still ruling. He's still reigning. And He hasn't changed one iota throughout the annals of history. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Essentially, what he's saying here is that you're not utterly destroyed because I'm a God that does not change. Now, Malachi chapter 3, it's speaking of the coming Messiah. And aren't you thankful for that sure promise that we have as God's people? When we start out in Malachi chapter 3, this is speaking of the coming of the Messiah. And we have here the will of God is unchanging. And he's saying here, as he's about to silence the mouth of the prophets for some 400 years, he says, "I change not." And he says, "Because I change not, you are not consumed." You want to talk about consistency. We try to be consistent in our lives, but we fail on a daily basis because we have this flesh. This world lets us down and disappoints us because we are selfish. We desire what we want, oftentimes above what's honoring to God and ministering to others. But God says, "I do not change." Yeah. And I want to say that is a doctrinal truth that is relevant, I believe, today than it ever has been before. You see all the difficulties and trials God's people have gone through throughout the ages, and we have example after example of them remaining steadfast in the midst of famine, in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of wars, in the midst of strife, in the midst of division. That hope comes from anchoring onto the unchanging God of heaven. Our God does not change. You know, I'm thankful as I was studying on this, one quote really stood out. There was an old writer named A.W. Pink that wrote extensively about what he called the immutability of God. Immutability simply means God does not change. And A.W. Pink, he quoted it a lot better than I could, but he says this about God. He says that our God is perpetually the same. He does not change. He says, "Our God is perpetually the same, subject to no change in His being, attributes, or determinations." And he says, "Therefore, God is compared to a rock, which remains immovable." And he says this, notice this, "When the entire ocean surrounding it is in a continually fluctuating state, even so, though all creatures are subject to change, God is immutable." He says, God has no beginning and no ending. He can know no change. That is the God that we serve. He is the one that is perpetually the same. Right. Things are going to change here in this world. As much as I dislike change as I get older, things are going to change. But God does not change. We change. If you don't believe it, just wait till you hit your 40s and you start getting towards your 50s, and it seems like every time you look in the mirror, you see a change, or you start feeling the change. The aches and the pains are coming. Those are reminders we're changing. As human beings, we change. We watch our children grow and develop, and I'm thankful for the young ones that we have, these newborn children, these toddlers that are running around here, and it's incredible how quickly you see change. You know, there's change that's changed for the better. And then there's change that's changed for the worse. But I'm thankful that our God does not change one way or another. You know, everything changes in this world but God. And we need to understand that, because I think in our humanistic society, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God does change. That God is fluid like we are. That God is fluid like sinful man is. But God doesn't change. Do you understand that? Some people think that God changes. I think that we adopt a lot of the philosophies of Greek and Roman mythology that their gods seem to change all the time. When you read Greek mythology in school, in middle school or high school, you know, the first thing that struck me as I heard about those gods were that, man, they're awful fickle. You know, they were always trying to appease the gods, and the gods were always changing and getting angry and being reactionary towards the actions of men. That is not God. God is not reactionary. He is unchanging. He doesn't change one way or the other. You imagine, some people think, well, maybe God's evolving. If God is getting better, what does that mean God was before he changed for the better? He wasn't really God, was he? Or what if God changes for the worse? I wouldn't want to be on the end of that deal. And that seemed to be a lot of pagan mythology, was that God was getting worse and God was getting more fickle. God was getting more temperamental. Some people think, well, God just ebbs and flows. No, he is constantly God. He is perpetually the same. We change. We change physically. We change in our likes and our dislikes, and we change in our philosophies, but God does not change. And I want you to understand that, because we live in a world today that says, well, everything changes and we have to adapt. We're to adapt the Word of God as society changes and philosophies change and as our life experiences change. No, we do not buy into the false notion that God changes. He does not. He is immutable. Therefore, his word does not change as well. That's why we adhere to this word. In Isaiah chapter 46, we have a reminder from the book of Isaiah that speaks of these. This is God's words again. And remember, Isaiah was written in the midst of God judging his people. That time that I mentioned a few minutes ago, that the children of Israel were carried away into captivity, Isaiah lived during that time, and Isaiah continued to speak and warn God's people that as they turned away from him, the judgment of God was going to come down, and they didn't heed the word of God. Again, they probably, well, we understand from Scripture that they did have this idea. They thought that God was like them. But Isaiah chapter 46, notice what Isaiah, by the inspiration of God, writes here. And these are the words of God. It says, remember the former things of old. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. How is there none like him? Because he is unchangeable. He doesn't waver with what's going on in the world. He doesn't waver with the trials and tribulations that are going on in society. He says, there is none like me. And then notice verse 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You say, well, Brother Michael, God does not change. God is immutable. God is perpetually the same. Well, what does that mean? It means what we said right here. He says, I am God and there is none like me. And it says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. We understand that God does not change. And under that umbrella is the wonderful blessing that he is ruling. He is on his throne. There is nothing here that has caught him by surprise. There's nothing in here that has changed him, changed his counsel, and changed his will. He is all sovereign. Therefore, he is unchanging. And Isaiah says that we're to remember this. We're to remember the power of our God. Now, Isaiah speaks about something that's a very weighty subject, a very deep subject, but what he's saying here is, you know, God really exists outside of time. And we've talked about this a little bit, but notice this is the God that we serve. He's the one, it says, declares the end from the beginning. And it says, declares from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know that the unchanging Almighty God who exists out of time, that knows the beginning from the end, He's consistent and whatever happens in this world, whatever difficulties, whatever challenges that we go through in this world, they're not going to overwhelm His counsel or His will. That's a blessing today, isn't it? And even in the midst of the judgment of God upon the children of Israel, He says that I am God. He says there is none like me. He says I'm the one that's ruling. Yeah. And what a great consolation that must have been during that time. You know, human nature and human behavior being what it is. And you know, and we can go back to Malachi chapter 3, and we see later on in that chapter, there were those of God's people that were talking amongst themselves, and probably the same thing was going on during the time of Isaiah. There were God's people, even in the midst of gross disobedience, that I believe that were honestly trying to serve the Lord to the best of their ability, and in spite of the difficulties around them, what comfort, what consolation that must have been. That God doesn't change. I fall short. I fail on a daily basis. I'm inconsistent. I'm flaky. But God does not. And He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. That's a wonderful blessing. Think about that for a little bit. God knows it all. God knows the end from the beginning, and yet He remains the same. What a wonderful blessing that is. Our God does not change. We sang some hymns this morning that talked about our God not changing. We talked about Him being the solid rock. He's the solid rock because He does not change. That's a wonderful blessing. Well, when you talk about that truth, a lot of times out in the world, you'll get this question. And I believe it's a valid question, but I believe it's a question that can be answered from Scripture. They'll say, well, Brother Michael, you say that God doesn't change. Well, you've shown passages in the Scripture where God doesn't change. Well, what about the verses in the Bible that says that it looks like God did change? Well, there's a couple of them. Genesis chapter 6, during the time prior to the earth being flooded. Genesis chapter 6, we see the Lord looks down, sees the imaginations of wicked men as wickedness continually. And in Genesis chapter 6, it says, it repented the Lord that He had made man on earth, and it grieved Him in His heart. Well, what are we to do with that? It says that the Lord repented. Another place very prominent in Scripture is in Exodus chapter 32. And this was the time where God had called Moses up into the mount, and He was given Moses the commandments, given Moses the law, and Aaron and the children of Israel down below the mountain, they had fashioned a golden calf and started worshiping it as God. God wasn't happy with that. And it says on that time in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14, it says, the Lord repented of the evil which He thought to do unto His people. That's referenced. Well, there was this dialogue between Moses and God. God had said, I'm going to just wipe this people out and make you another people. Moses intercedes on the behalf of the children of Israel. And it says, repented the Lord of the evil which He thought to do unto His people. Well, what are we to do with this? Does this mean that God does change His mind? Does this mean that God's will can be swayed? No. I want to ask you the question, was the will of God changed or thwarted on any of those occasions? It was not. His will was not changed any whatsoever. And here's one thing that I think was going on here. This was written, this is God's inspired word to His people. And what was being conveyed here was what God's feelings were towards the wickedness of men. You know, and in God's Word, we have language that's written about God for us to understand. The Bible talks about God having ears and eyes and hands. Does He really have ears, eyes, and hands? No, it's figurative, and it's to help us understand something about God and His feelings towards His people. And when it says it repented the Lord, this doesn't mean that the Lord had anything to change His mind with as far as His will, as far as His counsel, as far as His pleasure. But what this showed was that God was not pleased with the sinfulness and the wickedness of His people. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that God is not pleased with sinful behavior today. And this is being conveyed here. When he looks down at, during the time of Noah, what he sees is the wickedness of man. This shows that God didn't turn a blind eye. God didn't ignore the wickedness that was going on. God was not pleased, and God was going to judge the wickedness of men. But did it thwart his purpose and his will? No. And in Genesis chapter 6, when the judgment of God came down, and what happened? In the midst of all that, we find grace, don't we? Yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we have conveyed God's displeasure with the wickedness and the sinfulness of mankind at that time, but there was grace bestowed. The will of God stood sure. You know, his counsels were standing sure. He was doing his pleasure. He judged sin. And God is not pleased with sin today. Sometimes we get the fatalistic attitude, well, God doesn't care about my behavior. God doesn't care how I act. He does, and he is displeased when we sin and turn away from his commandments. But his will was not thwarted. His mind was not changed. But we see grace in the middle of that. And what in Exodus chapter 32, what do we see as well? Well, we see again the grace of God in spite of the wickedness of men. It's language that we can understand. And here's the wonderful blessing. In all of these exchanges, what you see the wickedness of man, but you see the power of God and the grace and the mercy of God. And that was what was going on during the time of Malachi. God would have been just as right to consume the sons of Jacob because they had turned their backs on him. But what we see in Malachi is God's grace and God's mercy, God's purpose and God's will is going to be accomplished. And praise be to God, that's the one that we serve today. I'm thankful. If you want to see a sure scripture that really explains God, Numbers chapter 23, it says this in verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's the God that we serve. And when we see that God judges the world because of the sinfulness of man, God's will was not thwarted. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, during the time of the children of Israel, the children of Israel were wicked, and they had made this golden calf, and you know, after God had just blessed them in an incredible way and delivered them, but God's will wasn't thwarted, and he was gracious and merciful to his people. And my friends, I want to tell you, as God's children today, we fail on a daily basis. We still mess it up. We still get it wrong. God's not pleased with that. And we suffer timely judgments because of our sinful behaviors. We suffer consequences. But I'm thankful in the midst of all of our wickedness, the will of God stands sure. And I'm thankful that God is not going to waver from his will, and that is to save his people, deliver his people through his son Jesus Christ. That is the God that we serve. We serve a good God. He doesn't lie. He is not inconsistent whatsoever. Whatever misunderstandings that we have from Scripture, it's not God's fault, it's our fault. He is consistent. It's impossible for God to change. This bold statement says it's impossible for him to lie. Now, I'm thankful that we serve the God that does not shift with the tides of life that happen in this world. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down, it says here, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If we believe that God was going to change his mind, we would be calling God a liar. We would be saying that God is mutable, and God is fickle like we are, and God is no better than we are. Heaven forbid we have that thought. We serve the true God of heaven, the one that gives good gifts, the one that gives the perfect gifts from above. And it says there is no variableness in him. It says there is no shadow of turning with him. I'm variable. You know, there's things that I liked 20 years ago that I don't like now. There's things that I was able to do 20 years ago that I'm not able to do as well now. Not so with God. Throughout all the ages, God has been the same. He has been continually the same. God's not going from worse to better. And thankfully, He's not going from better to worse. You know, we don't have to wonder, well, I just hope everything works out in our favor as God changes. You know, that's the Greek and Roman pagan mythology. I just hope it works out for us as God has His temper fits and as God, you know, as our gods react to us. No, He is God and He doesn't change. Right. And how should that affect us as God's people? Very quickly, when we understand the immutability and the unchanging nature of God, it should cultivate within us an awe and a reverence that we don't have for anything else in this world. You know, we like consistent people in our lives. As a husband, my goal and my desire is to try to be consistent for my wife, to be consistent in providing for my family. You know, that's foreign and in a lot of realms in our society today, just in the sense of being stable for your family, but we owe that to our spouses and we owe that to our children. And that's something to ascribe to as a godly man. We should be consistent parents to our children because they need that consistency in their crucial years as they develop. But again, I tell you, at our very best, we still fall short, but God never does. Right. And that ought to cultivate an attitude of awe and a worshipful attitude in our hearts every time that we think about it. Though people disappoint me, though society lets us down, though those that we look up to in this world disappoint us from time to time or even disappoint us on a regular basis, though the individuals that we hold in high regard, they fall to varying degrees, God never does. And that ought to just cultivate an awe and a reverential love for Him that we have for nothing else in this world. I want to tell you as well, it ought to give us comfort and confidence in the days that we're living in. Again, hallmark of the church throughout history is individuals being faithful in the midst of just unimaginable circumstances. That comes when we understand that God does not change. In this world, there's change. There's life and there's death. We see it in our little microcosm here in this church. We've celebrated life over the past few weeks and with new ones being born, but we've also honored and recognized those that have passed in this world. There's that constant change. But I'm thankful in the midst of whatever change we can imagine that God does not change. We change, things change around us, but God does not change. You know, one day we're enjoying blessings and prosperity, and then another day we can just lose it all of our worldly goods. We can lose our physical health in just a short period of time. But I'm thankful that God, what we read in the book of James, what we read in the book of Malachi is that there's no variableness in Him. There is no shadow of turning. That should give us great confidence and great comfort in the world that we live in. The psalmist understood this in Psalm 73. Psalmist David writes this in verse 25. He asks a question. He frames this in a question. And he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" King David. You talk about a life of ups and downs, the life of King David. You know, he started out just as the youngest and the smallest and the least significant in his household, and he's anointed to be king of Israel. He's anointed to be king of Israel, but then he's hunted down by King Saul before he sits upon the throne of the king of Israel. And then he gets there, and you see the turmoil in his household, the turmoil in his family, the turmoil that he had in battling his own flesh. His life was a mess. But he asked the question, "Whom have I in heaven but thee?" And he says, "There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Now he wasn't saying there's nothing else on earth that I desire. But he's saying this. He's saying, comparatively speaking, He says, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He's saying here, my relationship with the unchanging King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the most precious thing that I have in my life. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In this time of division, in this time of strife, in this time of pandemic, you know, that should be a verse that we commit to our minds and more importantly commit to our hearts. God is the strength of our heart and our portion forever. And we can say that because He does not change. We can say that because, as the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, we can say that because He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. There's a little sneak preview from the book of Hebrews. How are all those individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 able to press forward? And how did they exercise faith in the midst of overwhelming odds, in the midst of the fear of death, and even in the midst of actual death? They trusted that God was the same yesterday, same today, and the same forever. And my friends, because God is consistent, we can have comfort, we can have confidence in this world that we live in. We change, but God does not. Amen. I want to just talk just a little bit. There is some change that's desirable change. I hope as God's people that we're desiring to change for the better every day that we're here in this world. I want us to just think about this just for a couple minutes. You know, I'm thankful because we serve an unchangeable God. We serve the God that gives every good gift and every perfect gift. I'm thankful that He works a change in us that are changeable, and a positive change and a good change. Very quickly, I want you to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as we think about the unchangeable God that Malachi wrote of, the unchangeable God that David put his hope in, I hope that we understand that it's the unchangeable God who changes us for the better. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And before I read this, understand when you read these lists here in God's word, be careful how you react to these lists. You'll see some of the things on this list, but understand that all of us are contained in these lists to some degree and to some intensity. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is a strong statement right there. We've talked about the unchanging God. We've talked about the God whose will and whose purpose does not change. If you stop right there and you say, well, where is the hope for me? Well, if we stopped right there, there would be no hope. There would be no eternal hope for us. There'd be no hope here in time for us as well. We would be indeed miserable. But notice this. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now here's the wonderful blessing. The unchangeable God by the Spirit has changed us. Well, why is that? Because His will has not changed throughout all the ages. What is His will? What is one of the big portions of His will? That He, in His Son Jesus Christ, was going to save a people for Himself. When you want to know what's contained in the will of God, it's the eternal salvation of His elect. And you can see throughout the pages of Scripture, in the time of Malachi, in the time prior to that, in the time after that, the will of God was not thwarted because His Son Jesus Christ came into the world. His Son Jesus Christ came fulfilling the prophecy of Malachi chapter 3 and lived the ultimate perfect life, lived the consistent life, lived the sinless life. And He, in living a life that was perfect and pleasing for God, died for us, His people. And we have these sure promises here. Yes, We were fornicators. Yes, we were idolaters. Yes, we were adulterers and so forth. But I'm thankful that we are washed because God's will has not changed. God's purposes have not been thwarted. His eternal counsels remain sure today. And he says this, you were all, as such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and it says, by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? You know, another one of the sure promises of God is our heavenly home. You know, Jesus died for us, and because God doesn't change, heaven is going to be our home some sweet day. We rejoice in that today because of the sure promises of God. Amen. And my friends, while this world may wax worse and worse, and it could, we're not promised what tomorrow is going to look like in this world. Some people think, well, before the Lord comes back, everything's going to be made right in this world. No, my friends, everything ain't going to be made right in this world. We're going to have times when things are better than other times. It's going to be like a roller coaster ride. But oh, my friends, when the Lord comes back, it will all be made right during that time. And we'll be in His presence forevermore. And we'll be face to face celebrating and adoring the unchangeable God who's delivered us. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's our hope. I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, Brother Michael, you're not consumed. Brother David, you're not consumed. McClenny Primitive Baptist Church, you're not consumed. That's the God that we serve.